as we get started tonight, I want to mention a couple of things. Just want to let you know and help you to get prepared that following the message tonight, we are going to have communion. And so I want to let you just be prepared for that. Just as we go through the message and so on, just be thinking about what the Lord has done for you. Just be in a spirit, just prepared to partake of communion together tonight. Then also would like to mention, if it's possible, do we have any of the benevolent committee members here tonight? Anybody on benevolent? Raise your hand if you are. I thought I saw one earlier. Okay, we've got one. I'd like to meet, Tom, with you, also Sue Fritz, if possible. One of our elders, whoever shows up, so all of you show up if you want, that's great. And then Pastor Terry and one of our deacons in room 17 following the service tonight. Just have an area of need that I'd like to make you aware of. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And tonight we are getting very close to the end of the book of 1 Peter. And this has been an excellent book that I've enjoyed immensely. What I like about 1 Peter is the simplicity with which Peter writes, and yet he is so direct, so just straightforward, and yet it's profound. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, we really have tonight's message, and Lord willing, one more, and then we're finished with the book. But first, I want to talk to you about the senses of the human body for a second. How many senses does the human body really have? Five, right? Historically, we've thought of five. And I did a little looking this last week. And hearing? Did somebody say smelling? I need to pass that microphone, I can tell. So hearing, smelling, what? Okay. So did a little looking, though, and found out that senses. Did you know that? Anybody hear about that? Pretty amazing. Specific kind of information for us. That's a textbook definition. Even pronouncing them. Proprioception. How's that? This is at all times. And so when you go to pick up a cup, you don't have to figure out. There's another one, equilibrioception. What do you think that is? So your body starts trying to make compensation for that, and it gathers information to where you are. Nociception. I believe that. Nociception. It's good that we have it, though. It's different than the sense of touch, though. The sense of pain is. Do you have an idea? Temperature. So it tells you when to put on your coat. So the wife is turning the thermostat up, and the husband is turning it down, or vice versa. Now think about our sense of hearing. It's pretty amazing. God has designed our eardrum, because with all of the sound waves around us, it would just rip apart our eardrums. So God has given us a kind of select. The sense of smell that dogs have is amazing, of smell. But I want us to think about something else. I firmly believe, I think it's just as real as these other senses, and it is the evil taking place, a presence of spiritual wickedness, a presence of this part in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I did not plan it this way. We've been talking about Satan as it plays out in the tribulation and all of this, and smack dab in the middle of all of that, I wonder, because I've wondered about this, Lord, why all this? At the God knows that an attack is coming against us as a church. Drive it home to us over and over and over again. Be ready. Just want to let you, I don't want to. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, talks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, ever. Amen. Father, as we come tonight, I pray that you, this spiritual heightened awareness of, but I pray that we would be wise and that we would be sober and that we would be vigilant. And that, Father, we would not fall into a complacency. And so, Father, first point tonight is we have an adversary. We have an adversary. But if you got dropped on a planet Earth and see everything that's going on, you would know that something's wrong. And there's a, be aware of that. And what he says in verse 8 is he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary means someone that's against us. He also calls the adversary in verse 8 what? Diabolos. and it means a slanderer, an accuser. And one of the constantly, and the word diabolos means someone who knowingly brings. You should notice something, though, in verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because, listen, he is your adversary. He does not say because an adversary, your adversary. This is a personal enemy against you, watching and waiting. And he has a very, kind of some names for Satan. And this is one of the things that as I've gone through the series and have not been able to cover everything that I'd like to cover, tonight I want to do this. Biblical names and titles for Satan. Have you ever looked at these? They're huge. I mean, a bunch of them. It helps you to be aware of who your enemy is so you know how he works and things. And so let's go through these a little bit. I hope you can see those. Abaddon. Ishan. He's after destroying you. He's after destroying the church. He's after him. Accuser. He accuses us constantly at night, which means he's our enemy. He's also called Apollyon, verse 11. Here's an interesting one. Beelzebub, Lord of the Fly. It's a demonic term. Here's another one. Belial, worthless. Actually, I should back up. Dragon, the dragon. Often in Revelation, he's called the dragon. So called the evil one. He's intrinsically evil. That's who Satan is. He's also called a liar. You see how he's going to work? He's going to lie to you, and he's going to try to get you to believe about your husband or your wife or your parents or God himself or what. He's a liar. He's a murderer. As we see here tonight, he's also called a roaring lion, demons. He is also called in John 12:31, the ruler all the time is just the name Satan, which means adversary. He's called the serpent, soliciting us to get involved in sin. So now this is not premiered this, what was it, last week? Lucifer? I didn't see it, but I did see out of who Satan really is. Satan is portrayed as this evil guy, yes, but he's a young, hip-looking guy, and he's good-looking, and he opens this nightclub, and now it hasn't seen for thousands of years in himself. And he's portrayed as actual friend from high school. And all of the information was out to give you good things. And that is so far from the through the TV show, Lucifer, then just chalk that goodness in that. He's just transforming himself into something that looks good. We're told that that's what he does. Satan describes what Satan does, and it's just the opposite of what the TV show. Okay? He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. And he's constantly looking. He's continuously, that is a habit of his. This is hunting. And it's not just Satan that's being talked about here. It's kind of doubted, but I know that we rub shoulders against, we come up against demonic forces. Ready? They are looking for believers who are ready to take some lies in. They can destroy. They are looking for every opportunity to take the advantage. This adversary, he's like this roaring lion, and I'm told that. But I know this, that he's watching, he's silent. But what's he looking to do? Take a look at verse 8. What is he looking to do? Is he looking just to harass us? Is he looking to one who's unsuspecting? He's looking to devour. The word there means to what? Just to swallow. To take away all of your spiritual strength and vitality. To take away everything. To destroy your family. To destroy your marriage. To destroy this church. To destroy whatever he can. He wants to destroy. And some of his favorite tools. And let me just ask you a question. Some of his tools that he uses to devour us. What are some things? Vaughn, you had one. Oh, you said doubt. Okay, what else? You know, God's not good. God doesn't care about you. Or he breathes false doctrine. Mistruth. Okay? Someone over here? What else? Fear. Or you say, I cannot have courage, be strong and courageous. And Satan says, no, don't be strong and courageous, be fearful. What was it? Discontentment is a huge one. You know what? And pretty soon you start being discontent with God and you give yourself over to Satan's ways. So it's a temptation to sin. Let me mention a couple of others. Bitterness. Satan. They are bitter because of how people treated them and bitter because of that and bitter because of this. Take a look at this. He talks about pride and prideful, and it says that God resists the proud, verse 5. few verses, he's talking about how Satan attacks us. I'll tell you why. Because pride is one of the ways. You become, even whether you're a loud, proud person or a quietly proud person, before God and proudly shook his fist before God. So we need to watch out for pride. Hedonism or fleshliness, worldliness. We pursue our own desires. And when we step into those fleshly desires, we are stepping into Satan's ground. It's like we are the nation with satanic things. There is a fascination of Satan. You know, his power is a mirage. His is greater than he is. Why would I be fascinated with him? Okay. So then he can even cause from Job, we saw some of Earth's physical illnesses. He undermines the word of God. He wants to take away any advantage possible, 1:12. He's been crushed by Jesus Christ, Genesis 3:15. Some of us just need to hear that. I think all of us need to hear it at times when we feel like God has given you the strength. You are not a victim. Then we look at the power. Revelation 12:11 says that Satan is overcome by the blunder from the next few messages in the morning. But I got to tell you, it's good news. Now guess where he's going? To the lake of fire forever. God finally and cast into the lake of fire, and that's where he will spend eternity and to exist. Satan will burn forever. And he knows it. On this, I want you to just think about your own life. I want you to think about what are some favorite ways. Maybe he gets you lustful. Maybe he gets you discouraged. Maybe he gets you prideful. Maybe he gets you pull back from other people, or maybe you pull into to friendships that you shouldn't have. So you have an adversary. You're weak in your own strength, but you can. At the beginning of verse 8, you're supposed to be on the lookout. Be on the lookout when he's nearby. Have you learned to kind of spot that at times? That's a hard. And so we need to develop our spiritual senses. We need to tune and heighten. Enemy is against you, and we need to just develop a heightened sense of Joe Cartwright or Ben Cartwright on Bonanza. But he lived on the American frontier in the 1800s, okay? And he would ride from Plation and circuit riding preacher. And what he would do is, at least on one occasion, some people say it happened on more than one, and this hill was overlooking the city. And he was going to preach in this. He says, I smell hell. You know, there's a guy who had a sense of what was going on. It was a spiritual battle. So we need to have a sense and an awareness. To be serious. To be serious-minded. To be aware. To be calm and collected in your thinking, of your thinking faculties to say, I have an enemy. And he's mine. Even now. And things are going down in my life. And I can see that my enemy is right here. You need. And the Greek here is not just kind of, you know, maybe you should be this, or maybe you should think. The idea in the Greek is this is the aorist tense, which means do it now. Why would he say now? You better be alert right now because your enemy is seeking to pounce, and it might be this next instant. How he works on your attitudes. Look at how he works on your flesh. Look at how he works on your family. He's watching. The enemy's right there. He's creeping oblivious to what's going on in the spiritual realm around us, and then we're taken by surprise when we fall not aware of the traps and the snares. Then the third point I want you to see tonight, then we're to resist him. You see that? He says you need to resist him, verse 9. Ignore Satan. You resist him. Now, hold your place right here in 1 Peter chapter 4. What I like about James chapter 4 is it kind of gives 1 Peter chapter 4. And it's interesting, remember? Or excuse me, James does. Peter has said, you know, don't be proud and resist Satan. Resist the devil. See, he's just underscoring the point. Pride is an invitation. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and don't be proud. Verse 7, he says, submit to God. So this is a process for us. Then verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse after be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Number one, you humble yourself. Number two, you submit yourself to God. Then he goes on, verse 8, draw near to God. Draw near, and he'll draw near. That is going to get you into the enemy's territory. You humble yourself. Number 5, you want to resist Satan, you need to stand firm in your faith. It's easy for us to lose perspective, but you need to stand. Then he says, verse 9, basically don't despair. The world. Do you know what I know about you every week? See, every week, I think he's working. But it's not just me. It's you. We're the only ones who experience spiritual warfare. You experience it as well. You know, pastors are the ones who are hyper alert to these kinds of things. No, you need to be alert as well. Forces dragging you down, tempting you, causing you to doubt, causing you to where you're giving into the enemy. So here's what he's saying. He says, these things are being experienced by your brothers all the time. Thing about the passage here. And I want you to see, it's point four. Our victory is sure. You see that in verse 10? See, he's talking about how they need, and he says, look, the victory is in God. Look at that. May the God of all grace who called us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion. You're fighting this enemy. You're struggling it out. You're battling it out. Hey, don't despair. Stand in glory with him. And he is going to win this battle. You're going to suffer for. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. And so what you've broken record lately about this whole satanic warfare. Could it be that the Lord is putting an underline on this whole subject over and over, that tomorrow you're going to need to remember this? Could it be that tonight something's going to take things that you've been taught from God's word? Could it be that maybe tonight Satan is going to attack you in a word taught you? These are the things that we need to be ready to grab onto before you tonight, and we work our way into communion under. That our victory is in Jesus Christ alone. The spiritual attacks come. I pray that each one of us would resist, that we would stand firm, to grow lax. And I pray, Father, that most of all, we would put on the armor. And I pray that we'll be strong in your strength. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Distribute communion. Scripture tells us that when we come to communion, we need to examine ourselves. If you haven't been doing this already, that you would just stop and say, you know, where am I with the Lord? Relationship with other people. And just take a moment to examine yourselves as the men are distributing, to let you to really have a time maybe of confession before the Lord. Go ahead and partake if you're walking with the Lord. If you say, you know what, I've got some areas that that you need to get those things right. And so would the men step forward to receive the bread.